here's a question. It says, the great reality is deep within. And last night I said, I had a question, which was, well, what's the great reality? When you're in the great reality, describe it. Describe it. Versus like how it feels. What is that? Specifically, the great reality. So anybody want to take a shot at it, or you want me to give you a cheat sheet? Cheat sheet. Well, one in the great reality that's very prevalent, experienced, is good orderly direction that's extremely clear, soft, with flow. Two, in the great reality, it's kind of like a void of. It's like what's not in there that I experience is thinking. And because of that, like what's very, how I know I'm in there is I'm not judging. Like, oh, I'm not judging anything, it's just open. Sometimes for me, but not all the times, is love. But sometimes it's just very clear, with like in neutral, just clear. But sometimes it's clear and full of love, so that I'm experiencing that. The other thing is, it emerges like it comes up from within me and kind of like parts the thinking sea. Like it feels that way, like, ah. Like if I said, I paused and then said, you know, what should I do? It kind of comes up and clears it out. It's a feeling of, it doesn't kind of collapse in, it always expands out. Ever notice that? Like, and then sometimes if I'm connected, I'm not like others, super connected in my body, but sometimes I'll feel it all through my body and my whole body will open. But I'm not, you know, people joke around me, Rick lives a few feet from his body. I'm just not super in my body. It's something I have to work on. But others who are in their body would say that's kind of, they'll feel that first. This energy moving through their body, their thoughts dropping out, and an opening of quiet, of direction. And sometimes in meditation, no direction, just observing of thoughts. But it's the great, I am the great reality observing. So in there, in the great reality, is this observer. And what's not in there for me is separation, which is kind of different levels of that, but it's good. So that's some of what I would say. In the great reality, everything's beautiful. Like there's no, it's all one. And he included the environment. Like everything's one and it's all beautiful. It's kind of the other thing, if I'm thinking at this, sometimes great reality, I'm not thinking, sometimes I am, but I'm behind my thinking. You ever like observe yourself doing something while you're doing it? That's you in the great reality, totally awake to in the great reality and totally awake in your human presence, which is what we are. Then a lot of us have that. So if you're saying you're not in the great reality, I can describe all that, and almost all of us have had some of that. And the book describes it in a lot of ways, you know, glimpses, you know, flimsy read. You keep practicing and you go into that. The warm feeling of a friend, and we all can relate to that. And that you can really, that's a thing you can connect with. We're looking for conscious contact. It's a beautiful, as I would describe it, on-ramp to the broad highway. And there's many of them. You use what works with you. And then after a while, sometimes that same on-ramp won't work for you. You ever notice your tool isn't good, and you have to be fearless enough and obedient enough to throw away that tool and get another one, which the better the tool works, the harder it is to let it go. And we have some tools that work really well that stop working that I kind of intuitively know, and think about if you have one of those right now, you intuitively know it's not really working, but we won't let it go because we got so much out of it. Or another thing is joy, you know, kind of a joy for no reason. Just a lot of AA people get that through doing the destroying and dismantling. It's always there. And here's what Sandy said in every major tradition I know says this in my experience. And when everybody says it in different ways. I'll do Chuck C first, since we're about love. Chuck C said, like animals and birds know what they are and how to be it. What they are and how to be it. Remember in our thing, when we ask good or direction, how to be, at first it's kind of how to be in this world, and then as you keep working that, it's also how to be with what I am. And he says, human beings don't know what they are, that's what we're discovering here, or how to be it, so we suffer. And every other major tradition says that. And then they all have the same thing in common, which just do this, which is how you get there is subtraction, not addition, right? You just let go of all these things, which we're experts at. Inventory process is like unbelievable, and forgiveness. Our steps is the action steps from all those traditions, I think, put together. And now Sandy B says in that clip, 21 minutes, 48 seconds, 28 seconds, something like that. He says, here's what happens as we're incarnate, is we're a spiritual being having a human experience. You hear that a lot, but it's an inquiry, like look into it, is that really true? How would I know that's true? And what he says is, what occurs is, at the same time, the mind starts thinking, and it overlays all these opinions and stories on top of one's experience till it blots out the sunlight of the spirit. And by dismantling all that, and that's when he gets into dismantling, what happens is you naturally see what's always been there, which everybody else says. So it's not by addition, and that's a little tricky because we use kind of what I would think of as addition to get there, like contrary behavior. You know, I would say, well, that's kind of like addition. I'm being love, you know. But I'm really in my thinking mind being love. But when I get rid of all my thinking, it's impossible not to be love, which we've experienced. I mean, that moves through us all a moment. Like you ever kind of look back on a interaction and it surprises you? Like, I actually felt love and was love. It kind of catches you off guard. You know? So, and we're in an inquiry, so that's why we're always about letting go. You know? So that's a little tricky in your thinking, you know what I mean? Your thinking can really get weird on that. Yeah.
I was going to ask you about grief and, you know, normal sickness, sadness, things like that in context. And, you know, we talk about our connection being joyful, mm-hmm. seeing the world's beautiful.
Okay, I can answer that. From both places, right? Okay. Because you see it in me. I talk about Clint, there it comes, right? So it's very raw. I talk about my friend who was murdered when in eighth grade. Very raw, you feel it. And so that's kind of this human experience. You know, that's love continued. Loss and emotion. Love continued. Deep grief usually equals the same amount of depth of love. So in one way, if I'm working with my thinking mind, which I said last night around it, is that's a really beautiful thing. It helps me hold grief, and others do the same thing, hold grief in a way that it's love. But it's separation, right? Conscious separation. I'm separate, I lost. From the other space, which when I got done last night, of course, Mr. Wood over there says, he talked about right before Luther, talked about right before Clint died. He brought Luther over and, you know, really close and whispered to him, "You know Rumi?" And Luther was like, "The poet?" Like, he's dying. So it was kind of like caught him off guard, like, "We're going to talk about Rumi at the moment, the poet?" And can you pull it up, what he said? Because he was telling me, I'm on separation grief. And this is what Clint said to him. And he put it in his phone.
"Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there," he said.
Say it again.
It's from Rumi. It says, "The whole thing is out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing. There is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about." He left me with that, and I know that I will meet him there.
So what Luther was pointing to for me, you know, because, you know, he's my sponsor, and he knows I'm suffering, but I'm suffering from separation because I miss him, you know, and he's just giving me a tool, and he's, you know, just when it says, "I'll meet you there in that field, beyond knowing and not knowing," which was a favorite of Clint's, that thing, and he knew it by heart. So, so if I came over here into the great realities within, it is all unity, and I don't suffer because I don't miss him because I'm with him. So it's a different world. Like, I didn't miss anything, you know, I'm connected. And so from that point of view, then right now you notice I recover because I'm feeling connected. So for Luther, in my spiritual, expanding my spiritual life, even though that some people go, "That's a great sentiment," Luther's like, "I love you, Rick. I don't want you to suffer. You know, I don't want you to run away and not do things because you're suffering so much. I don't want that. It's not working." You know, and this is a long time, so he's taken the moment, and he's taken other moments. But now he's digging a little more. Like, I know if we do a thing, him and me up there, he'll take that. I know that. He's going to be like, "Time to let that go. Time to stop wallowing in it. And really know you're connected because you know you are." So what he probably would say, "What are you getting out of it? What's the payoff?" So now I'm having a sponsored conversation without my sponsor talking. You ever know that? You guys have those too? And then I would answer, see, here's the inventory. I would answer, "When I feel this much grief, I feel so close to it. The payoff is I feel the love. I don't want to let it go. I don't want to let that go." I mean, he would say in a kind way, because I'd be crying, "You're insane. If you let it go, you'll have the love all time." That's what he's going to tell me. He's like, "You got to, you know," it's like, he doesn't need to fix me. I see it wrong. He's just like, "You see it wrong." And that, you know, so he did that in 2 minutes last night. Like, just let it go. Like, sometimes, like, how many times we have to do this answers your question maybe about surrender. Like, when am I just going to take it, the rock and the backpack off and lay that, drop the rock? And he's just, even though it sounds beautiful, he's like, come on, Rick, man, just drop the rock. Just, you can do it. It's too long. Just drop that rock. Does that answer your question? Are we pushing into a little love? You know, both ways, love, yeah. Pacey said, like, when I'm really in the great reality, the thing he gets, and I get it, is I can really be vulnerable, safe and vulnerable. I don't have to construct. When I'm in that and that other stuff gets dismantled, what actually... And that's the paradox, you know, it's the paradox of the thinking world, and Sandy B talks a lot about it, is the paradox of the thinking world and the spiritual world is that they are, what works in each one is almost opposite. Like he says, to win this game, like to win, you got to surrender. To a thinking mind, it's like, what the heck's that about? You know? To be totally safe and full of power, I have to be totally vulnerable and transparent. And that's why in AA we just cut it short, because you got to have enough experience. You just go, contrary behavior. That's why we say that. Just do the opposite, because the worlds are opposite. It's a paradox. I don't know why it's a paradox. You know, you can make up any spiritual story about it, but I'll just say this. I do know from spirit, you know, from experience, I am a spiritual being having a human experience for now, and will drop this. Just like Clint and many others, I've seen that spirit move out concretely and move on. And then everybody can have their theory. I don't know anything before that. I just want a good death to be as awake as I can as I do it. Just like I want to be as awake as I can by doing this. The only thing I will say about this human experience that's interesting is it's a good laboratory because of the paradox. Got to do a lot of work for me. Got to do a lot of work to catch on. So I don't know what that is, but it's just a lot of work. And it's cool.
I was just reminded that I wanted him and needed him, and he came. And I feel it. He comes.
Yeah. Yeah, and then what tricks us is sometimes our human language, like he. Is it a he or an it or a presence? And as you get into this and you're not so attached to, remember we said yesterday why it works here to, you know, have any concept of good orderly direction you want, because none of them matter. You can throw them all up, because in the end, all of them get thrown out. But we'll language in the he, like he comes, and I would say, and then, but Kurt would say, maybe it comes. So I was a he, and just for you, I changed my language and said, it comes. Instead, who am I? What am I? As a spiritual inquiry, what am I? And that, but it always comes. The experience is 100% of the time in that, it always comes. Is that my?
Yes. I thought so.
I thought so too. He always comes. That is really trippy. That's Siri saying God always comes. And Siri said, I thought so. AI has gone a long way, man. It's in all beings and things. Oh, I like that.